Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
He just didn't seem like he would be that kind of person.
Actually, believe that.
Psychological issues.
I just wish this never happened.
He just was upset with the government.
Psychological
run
issues.
It right.
He's not that kind of guy. He's a good guy.
I tell you the truth. This is a pastiche, a cornucopia of insanity like I've never seen. I don't know where to begin. With the Washington Navy Yard that doesn't build ships anymore? Or sending guns to the terrorists in Syria and taking them away from Americans? By the way, I figured out where the billion bullets that are purchased by DHS and other agencies of Obama's government have gone. They're going to Syria. They're the ones who buy. They bought the bullets for the Syrian Free Army. And then after they get through with the evil man in Syria, Assad, they can bring him over here as Obama's private army. At least it could happen. I mean, why not? Under this administration, why not? By the way, you're listening to The Savage Nation. This is not a coming through the wall and through a, like through loose lip sync ships. You're actually not imagining this show. You're hearing it. It's a national radio show called The Savage Nation. My God, we've gone from building ships to loose lips in one generation. You know, the tragic shooting that left 13 people dead, including the gunman, Aaron Alexis, who's really a victim. I mean, you listen to MSNBC, he's a victim. He slipped through the cracks. The system failed him. Now, it's true he was a nut who shot his gun off at people who parked in his driveway. Another time he shot it through the ceiling of his apartment and almost killed a woman above him. But that didn't stop the Navy from giving him glowing reports. No, they moved him up. Yeah, they moved him up. One report after another, he was better than the day before. Oh, glowing, wonderful genius. That's because he didn't look like Timothy McVeigh. So they figured one day he could be Navy Secretary because he hadn't killed anyone yet. Now, well, unfortunately, he can't be promoted anymore. The Navy Yard. When I was a child, I would ride over the Williamsburg Bridge with my dad. Yes, another dad story. To the little store on the Lower East Side of Manhattan, the little antique store on the Lower East Side of Manhattan where I'd clean bronzes like a Dickensian character I did. And we'd go over the Williamsburg Bridge into Manhattan. I'd look down at the Brooklyn Navy Yard, where they actually built ships. And I saw huge aircraft carriers with the markings of the U.S. Navy. Major battleships, cruisers, destroyers. It was so exciting. I think now it's a disco where they sell ecstasy at night. That's the new Brooklyn Navy Yard. Now, what is the Washington Navy Yard? You thought everyone was walking around in like uniforms. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No. No, it's not a Navy Yard anymore. They don't build ships there anymore. There was an ordnance plant. They used to build munitions there. But with the Libs coming to town starting with Clinton, it's now a headquarter for the following organizations. The Navy Yard is now not building ships nor making, let's say, big cannon weapons or whatever. It's the Naval Sea Systems Command, whatever that means. I have no idea what that is. The Naval Historical Center. You know what that is. They get the liberals in there to rewrite the history of the U.S. Navy. The U.S. Navy Judge Advocate General Corps. Those are a bunch of failure lawyers who can't get a job in the private sector. Marine Corps Institute. I don't know what that is. And the United States Navy Band. Leave me alone with this. It's sad, isn't it? In the beginning, it once had 25,000 workers building ships. Today, there are 3,000 service members and civilians who work at the Navy Yard. Well, it's sad, you know. Here you had a contractor, Alexis, how he got a top security clearance, even though he was a certifiable nut, who heard things through the walls and played violent video games and was on medication. Well, wait a minute. I'm not thinking clearly. Hold it. That shouldn't have stopped him from moving up into the Navy when I think about it. When you think about that, I mean, you would think that in a normal situation, he should have been vetted and stopped. But wait a minute. He had delusions, didn't he? Did that ever stop any others in the government? After all, we have Nancy Pelosi who talked to her granddaughter about whether to go to war in Syria. Did that stop her? Then they put her away the next day? No. We have Obama who still thinks he's the leader of the free world. Did that stop him? They put him away the next day? No. You look at John Boehner. He actually thinks he's still the Speaker of the House. Have they put him away with the gavel? No. Go down the list. So the fact of the matter is just because this guy was talking to himself and shooting his gun through the ceiling When you think about it, that shouldn't have stopped anything. We could talk about that, and I don't think I want to. Not right now. It's not your father's Navy. I mean, God bless the poor people who were injured or killed, but most of them were not Navy personnel. They were civilian contractors, part of the military-industrial complex, worker bees. Have you noticed how many people work in the military now, simply getting contract after contract? The fact of the matter is, I said it yesterday, it was picked up today, that there must be more guns on bases to prevent this from happening. I said this after the Fort Hood massacre by Muslim Major Nidal Hassan, where nobody had a gun. Nidal Hassan had to be stopped by a local policeman. This shooter wasn't stopped, by the way, until, I don't even know who shot him, a local policeman shot him, because the unarmed military personnel on U.S. bases is a national scandal and a tragedy. I talked about it yesterday. Teddy, shut up. That's my dog. He's interrupting his master's voice. Stop or you'll be banned from the studio. I'll tell you what I really want to talk about. I think the Navy thing we could talk about, we even have the police report of the poor gentleman, the victim who did the shooting, what he had done before in a hotel. I'll tell you that in a minute. But I saw tonight an interesting media story, and that is that old Hannity's been bounced. Oh, yeah, poor old Hannity's been bounced to the Siberia of Fox Network. Fox's new lineup, Greta moves to 7 p.m., that's Scarface. Hannity goes to 10 p.m., and the girl next door, everyone's favorite blonde, the cheerleader for Rupert Murdoch, Megyn Kelly, is at 9 p.m. So she takes over Wallbanger's slot on Fox. After months of speculation, Fox News finally announced an official new primetime line starting Monday, October 7th. Fox primetime is entirely rejiggered, with the exception of Bill O'Reilly staying planted at 8 p.m. Well, why would you want to change a leprechaun? I mean, once a leprechaun, always a leprechaun. You don't change a leprechaun's spots by moving him. God, he could imagine if they changed O'Reilly, what would go on there? As previously reported, Megyn Kelly will be moving to the 9 p.m. ET slot with a new show, The Kelly File. What do you mean, The Kelly File? What does everything have to be cute? What do you mean, file? What is it, a file? What does she file? Her nails? The slot's former host, Sean Hannity, they ought to call it The Hannity File. He'll be looking for a file soon. The file is way out of the nighttime slot. We'll move his eponymous show to the... what is an eponymous show? Can anyone tell me what is eponymous about The Hannity Show? Currently, I'm agreed to Van Susteren. Van Susteren, Scarface, will in turn move her signature show. Listen to this. Of her earlier time slot, Van Susteren said, after 11 and a half years, number one at 10 p.m. and driving home near midnight, I'm to the moon thrilled. That sounds weird. At a new challenge and a new drive, half the year I won't even need headlights. Who wrote this for her? Now you understand why she's still doing nights. And here's what Hannity said of his new time slot. Quote, I am very happy to be moving to 10 p.m. The ability to be live or on tape greatly increases the flexibility of the show and offers me, after 17 years, the opportunity to be at home at night with my family. You know, you mean all of a sudden he discovered his family. I noticed over the years that whenever a corporate guy got downsized or thrown out, he always said, now I can spend more time with my family. What do you mean, the day before they couldn't spend time with their family? Suddenly he found that he has a family to take care of at night? Unbelievable to me. On the record, the O'Reilly Factor, the Kelly File, and poor old Hannity at 10 p.m. As many have noted, this new lineup now means Fox News is the only cable network with two females hosting during primetime hours. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? What does the two females have to do with it? What does that have to do with anything? Are they good at what they do or are they bad at what they do? I don't know. What do you mean, females? What does that mean? If you have two giraffes in there, it would mean the same thing to me. All right, I'll get to the police report in a minute. You want to talk about the shooting, you can. President pushed to disarm Americans on the same day he approved arming Al-Qaeda. Now we know where those billion rounds of ammo went that they've been buying. They're going to Syria, the Syrian freak army. And maybe after they take down Assad, they'll be brought over by Obama as his private army. just want to get you a little excited by the news. Crazier by the second. Yeah, and the nut. I haven't read that yet. 855-407-282. Okay, we got something no one else has had yet, which is the police report of the nut, the shooter nut. This came in on August 7th. Okay, this is the Savage File, We have exclusively for you. Okay. This is the Savage File, exclusively now on the Savage Nation, is a police incident report of the shooter in the Navy Yard incident. On August 7th, 2013, a policeman reports he was assigned to Car 1. At about 0623 hours, Officer Blank and I were dispatched to the Marriott Hotel, room 405, for a harassment report. I responded from City Yard. On arrival, we met with the shooter. We're not going to read his name. They deleted it. What is his name? Alexis Smith? Alexis? I don't know his name, whatever. I'll call him Shooter, okay? On arrival, we met with the shooter, and he stated that he is a naval contractor and that he travels often. Shooter went on to explain that while getting onto his flight from Virginia to Rhode Island, he got into a verbal altercation with an unknown party in the airport. Shooter believes that the individual that he got into an argument with has sent three people to follow him and keep him awake by talking to him and sending vibrations into his body. Shooter stated that he has not witnessed any of these individuals, but believes they are two black males and a black female. Shooter stated that he first heard them talking to him through a wall while at the Residence Inn in Middletown. Shooter then packed up and went to a hotel in a Navy base, where he heard the same voices talking to him through the walls, floor, and ceiling. Shooter stated that he moved to his third hotel and is currently at the Marriott. Oh, God, this is crazy. This is unbelievable. Shooter first said that the three individuals were speaking to him through the floor. Then Shooter stated that the voices were coming through the ceiling. Shooter stated that the individuals are using some sort of microwave machine to send vibrations through the ceiling, penetrating his body so that he cannot fall asleep. When I asked the shooter what the individuals were saying to him, he would not elaborate. Shooter stated that he has never felt anything like this and is worried that these individuals are going to harm him. Shooter stated that he does not have a history of mental illness in his family and that he has never had any sort of mental episode. I advise Shooter to stay away from the individuals that are following him. Oh, that's the cop is nuttier than him. And to notify NPD if they attempt to make contact with him. What? The cop is crazier than the shooter. The guy says to him he has imaginary people following him, and the cop says to stay away from the imaginary people following him. Look at the country we're living in. I told you most people are on drugs. That was not made up. That is an incident report found by my staff here in the Savage Nation of the Newport Police Department. And I'm not going to read the officers' names because I'm starting to think maybe they should be rounded up. Location type, hotel, motel, Marriott Hotel, Newport, Rhode Island. That's amazing. Well, look, the fact of the matter is he heard imaginary people and he still got promotions in the Navy. In fact, they said he was a sterling worker in the Navy. What is unusual about that in the U.S. government? After all, the Navy shooter being treated for mental illness, he wasn't even being treated for mental illness. He wasn't found mentally unfit. It didn't stop many of the other people working in the country from going on, even though we know they're hearing things and talking to themselves and hearing world leaders talking them through the floor. For example, Obama still thinks he is the president of the United States and a great world leader of the free world. Pelosi still talks to her granddaughter to determine whether to go to war in Syria. Kerry still believes he's a great statesman, even though he assigned his job to Vladimir Putin. Boehner still finds himself relevant, even though nobody knows who he is. Hillary Clinton believes she's invisible when it comes to Benghazi. Bill Clinton still thinks he's moral. John McCain thinks he's a Republican, while Joe Biden thinks he could run for the presidency. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Actually, believe that he did that anyway. So he's not that kind of guy to kill people. He's a good guy, you know. I mean, from what I know, you know, I can't say
he just shot
people.
He's a good guy.
Why was he with me? It's nothing.
Turn it off. The neighbors are. He's still a good guy. Killed people. Went berserk. He's a good guy. You hear? Some office of naval intelligence. Who runs that division? Used to be naval intelligence. You thought of guys like saluting smartly and Annapolis Tailhook. You know, unbelievable. Who's running the show? Under Obama, everything's been wrecked. I don't think the country can ever come back. How can you get rid of the deadbeats he's put into all of these positions in the CIA, FBI, Naval Intelligence, DOD? How can you replace them? They're ensconced. Have you taken a look and listened to them recently? Have you listened to them? Have you heard them? Have you seen who's up front with this tragic shooting? Who's given the speeches? Have you seen who he's put in there? Is it any wonder that a guy with this record would be moved up in the Navy? No one's going to lose their job. Office of Naval Intelligence, right. Sure. WHAM in Rochester. Adam, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Oh, I smell a little conspiracy you drew in here. I really...
That's great. We needed that tonight. All right, let's hear the conspiracy.
Manchurian candidate. He's talking about how they're trying to brainwash him in his room, all that.
Oh, so you think the CIA was sound-waving him to get him nuts to shoot?
That. They put him on the meds to make you a little crazy.
Well, I heard the same thing about Timothy McVeigh. I heard the same thing about others. You know, there is always that suspicion about our big brother, or shall I say big sister, and how she operates. After all, let's face it, Obama and Kerry just had the greatest embarrassment in political history with Syria. Is that correct or incorrect?
No, that's absolutely correct.
The worst embarrassment in the history of a presidency occurred last week. Where now Russia, Putin, is now our Secretary of State. He's not busy enough being the President of Russia. He's now the Honorary Secretary of State for America. John Kerry has abandoned the job. He turned it over to Putin. Obama was going to have a big party last night. Think how that's hurting him now. He had to give up the Latino party last night in the White House. That's a serious blow to his alter ego. No, what are you going to? I forgot already. The id, the ego, and the alter ego? What's the pleasure center in the brain? Superego? I don't know. Superego, yeah. I used to listen to the conga drums there. So this is unbelievable. No, it's astounding to me. You have to be a very strong or a little bit crazy to do this anymore. To get up every morning and look at what Obama is doing to the country and the world and sort of like talk to an audience without losing your mind altogether is unbelievable to me. And by the way, what you are hearing is not coming to you through the floor unless you built your Dolby system into the rug. I don't know where you're hearing this. I mean, if you built your Dolby system into the walls, okay, then you're not nuts either. But if you're hearing this coming out of your filling, I would call 911 and immediately throw your gun down the toilet. Are we out of time already? Office of Naval Intelligence. Yes. Yes, sir. And she comes out in a skirt, mean face, clipped hair with a whistle. That's the new Navy. Welcome to the new Navy. She couldn't pilot a rowboat, let alone a destroyer, but she's now the admiral. Ask her if she can fire a missile. Ask the new admiral in the U.S. Navy if she can fire a missile or drive a ship. Yes, sir. I mean, yes, ma'am. Oh, I'm fired? Yes, ma'am.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
When I was invited to his house to watch a football game, he spent more time in there watching, playing the game online with some other individual, which was a pretty bloody game of shooting. He spent more time doing that than entertaining his guests. And I commented to Aaron on that, wow, man, you're in your 30s, dude, you need to let that stuff go. And like I said, he was, I would say things like, you know, you're a brother of another mother. And he would say things like, yeah, you're my Italian buddy, a mafia guy from New York. You know, so we had things we joked about.
All right, turn it off. Real, real genius. All right. So violent video games are the question now. The shooter, the lunatic, was a video game nut. You know my feelings on it after the other massacres that were related to medication. Psychiatric drugs, as you know, are overprescribed, and they also have rebound effects of violence. We've talked about it in a serious manner. I also believe violent video games should not only be edited, they should be banned completely. Violent video games are the equivalent of giving children crack and putting crack into their head, and yet the lobbyists for violent, the video game industry, are so pronounced. And they're owned, by the way, by the same news companies that you're watching all day long. If you look at the interlocking corporate directorships, they bought all the video game companies. So do you actually think that if you have a discussion on should video games be banned like this, that if it's on CNN, they're going to say they should be banned? Of course not. I saw it today, right away. No. No, don't ban it. There are plenty of normal people who play it. They don't kill anyone. I heard that before. I believe there's a connection. I believe violent video games should be banned completely, especially for anyone under 65. I think over 65, you could play a violent video game in the old age home. And then as far as the overprescription of psychiatric drugs, are you kidding me? Are you joking? You don't see the medico-pharmaceutical complex at work here where they declare this illness, that illness. They make the illnesses up to push drugs on you. Forget about it. 855-407-282. Should violent video games be banned? It's a meat and potatoes easy question. I don't even know if I'd really rather talk about Hannity getting bounced on Fox, but no one took the bait. I would think you would go for that. I don't know. I would have thought that would have been a natural for talk radio. Yes, Mike. No, Mike. I love Wallbanger. I like his nail gun. I think his nail gun will look great late at night. Yes, Mike, I like the part in the middle of his head. Yes, Mike, he doesn't look like Lou Costello. No, Mike, he looks like Abbott Costello. No, Mike, he's good. I mean, no, nothing, not one call on Hannity being bounced on Fox. Not a single call on that. Can you imagine? Is there anyone listening to the show? Is there a sporting event tonight that I don't know about, guys? I have three wonderful men who work for me. I don't watch sports myself. I don't play cards. Nothing. There's no, like, Tuesday night football that I'm... Tuesday night baseball, nothing. The weather's weird. Like, even out here, I've already got... I'm putting away the summer clothes. I'm getting out the winter clothes. Then it's summer again here in the Bay Area. I had to pull out the short-sleeve shirt from Hawaii today. I was ready into the long sleeve. I smelled autumn in the air. 2 hours later, I'm back into the Aloha shirt that I wanted to burn already for the season. Thank God it's dark by the time the show is over the air. Oh, I can't wait. I love the late show. I mean, I started there when I was, another time slot. I was earlier. I run into people now in the Bay Area. Oh, are you still on the radio? You used to be on the radio? I feel like saying, I feel like taking an ice cream cone and putting them in their eye. That's only to make me, unhappy. That's why I don't talk to normal people. You can't talk to anyone who's not your peer in the world. Let me give you a key to that. I don't care what you do, what business you're in. Never talk to anyone below your level in anything. They will always look to put you down no matter how. They can't help it. Even by accident, they do it. Weren't you used to be in radio? I'm back on the air now a year on KSFO in San Francisco. They don't know I'm here. Great promotion, by the way, I'm getting from the station. In between the Wallbanger ads and the other ad, this himbo, bimbo, dimbo, who knows where I am. But don't worry. One of these days, I think my prediction's going to come true. You'll see. You wait and see what happens to the lineup with Savage. My prediction may come true yet. You never can tell what tomorrow will bring. Here we go. The callers came in. I baited him already. I have regulars. I got to hold on. Wait. I've been waiting for this moment. Hold on. Don't hang up on me. Are they still there? Is my audience still there? Yeah, they're still here. I thought they hung up on my radio station. I went to NPR. This is NPR. This is Obama Radio, brought to you by the government. Great victory in Syria. John Kerry, great Secretary of State. Hillary Clinton, the heroine, the lioness of Benghazi, will be with us soon on NPR. I got an email on the 24th of August, 8-24-13, from a long-term listener. Here's what he wrote. It was through a third party. It said, Mike, some of us hardcore listeners are like elephants. We never forget. I hope you'll appreciate my pet names. And yes, some of us got it when you mentioned Mickey Mouse. The funniest story from my listener's side is your program director. He goes, I can't mention some of these names. And he goes all the way into my history and what the people who hate me say about me because they're jealous. Here they are. The biggest threat to Mike's SF Bay enemies are their own twisted, biased, and often racist, bigoted media sources. For example, the radical hippie station in Berkeley pretends to be a friendly, warm, and fuzzy, quote, alternative station, but the covert and overtly racist and bigoted content that slips past or gets a pass by the do-gooder liberals would get any commercial broadcast talent fired on the spot. If you lived in the San Francisco area for any amount of time, Mike, especially if you are an area native, it's no surprise to learn the white elite progressives pretend to love minorities in public, on air, and in front of video cameras. It's a different story when they retreat to their rich gated lily white herb and suburb communities where a minority guest is someone who does their house or yard work. He goes on and on. Mike won't mention names on air. So, he goes all the way back. So he's saying that he knows the show go all the way back. Blah, blah, blah. Let's see. I'm going to finish up now here. Since Mike left his last syndicator and signed with Cumulus, including, now Mike is back syndicated on KSFO where he belongs and where he started. Can you play that thing I like? That song? Nighttime or something? The Journey song? Nights. I just want to get into a mood. I'm not in a mood yet. I can't even focus on the show today. I'm going through a lot of things that I can't talk about. Nothing bad. It's all good, but they're distracting me. Nah, I can't do it. I can't get schmaltzy. Turn it off. I'm not in it. Break the record tonight. I don't feel all of this. I don't get it. I don't know what's wrong. Just not into it, the boot. I try to get into it. I can't line myself up with this. I don't get it. I'm not into any of this. There's nothing to bash in the movies. There's nothing to bash on television. Obama has disappeared like a shadowy figure. Disappeared after Syria. He's like sulking. I don't even know if he's still in Washington. Where is the man? The greatest embarrassment in the history of American foreign relations occurred last week, and the president is nowhere to be seen. So then there's a mass shooting. So the lunatics come out and say already he was a Manchurian candidate. You know? 855-47-282. 855-47-282. 855-47-282. The Savage Nation. You know, I'm going to tell you a coincidence, what's on my mind. My novel, A Time for War, is in paperback, right? And it's all about, you know, Jack Hatfield is the main character. But I introduced a new character, Dover Griffith, an idealistic young woman staffer at the Office of Naval Intelligence. Can you believe this? And in A Time for War, the Office of Naval Intelligence played sort of a big background story here. And so my hero, Hatfield, pursues a trail leading to a billionaire American electronics entrepreneur who has sold out his country with the help of officials at the highest level of the American government. And as enemy operatives plan a two-pronged attack that will disarm the American military, oh, really, Michael, and release a deadly toxin killing hundreds of thousands of civilians, Hatfield and Dover race to locate this new ground zero and save an unsuspecting country. That's my book. That's my book, A Time for War, but you didn't want to buy it. I tried to tell you. I saw things in my own way. It's so well done. I got a call today from Las Vegas from a friend of mine. He said he's at the pool, and he sees someone reading my book, A Time for War, in paperback, and the guy doesn't even know I'm on the radio. He just likes the novel. Would you believe this? It's like two identities. People are writing that Michael Savage is the Mark Twain of our time. Do you know that? I know you won't hear it on a Wallbanger or a Leprechaun. I certainly won't be on the, what's her name? Blondie on Fox News? The cheerleader they're bringing back after the baby. What's her name? Oh, the Kelly file. I file. Where'd they come up with these hokey names? The Kelly file. The Kelly file sounds weird. I think that's a bad name. Let me tell you something about names. It's very funny. I'm an expert on naming things. I'm one of the best in nomenclature in the world because I studied botanical Latin. So years ago, like 30 years ago, I remember learning this. I'll never forget this as long as I live. It was a famous story. Chevrolet had a good little car called a Nova. It was actually a piece of junk. My sister owned one and it caught fire. It blew up. It was a four-cylinder engine. But it was a cute car. It was a Nova, I think, when the engine caught fire. Whatever. So they tried to sell the Chevy Nova in South America, and nobody bought it. So why didn't they buy? They figured out years later, the corporate executives, that you can't sell the word Nova because it means no-go. So none of the South Americans would buy the Chevy Nova because it meant no-go, right? So it's the same thing, like the Kelly file is a mistake. Because when I hear the Kelly file, I think of a woman filing her nails. They could stick with her now. I got a new name for her. Wait, give me a bell. Bingo, I got it. I give a name to everyone, so I got it. The filer. I got it. Megyn Kelly is forever now referred to on this show as the filer. The filer. We got the leprechaun. We got Scarface. We got the filer. And we got Wallbanger. What more could you ask for? So you got your money's worth already for the night. Mike on W. I'm enjoying myself for what I've been through in my life. Not bad. Don't get me wrong. I'm not tempting God. I know it already. Most guys my age, what they have. Either they're pushing daisies, number one. Or they can't breathe anymore, their legs are shot, their knees are shot, their arms are shot, their hips are gone. And I'm talking about guys who are captains of the football team in high school. Those guys are either dead or they're crippled. It's terrible. The little guys, the wimps, the guys who nobody liked, didn't want them to play in the team, we go on forever. Let me tell you that. It's like my dog Teddy, he's 10 years old. People look at him, they think he's a puppy. How did that happen? So I was speaking to a guy, Howie Cara in Boston. I was on his show last week. A local show, so I talked to his producer afterwards. We talked about my dog after. So I said, Teddy, I love Teddy, he's 10. She said, oh, I had a dog named Millie. She lived to 20, toy poodle. I was so happy. I was empowered because I hope I could live 10 more years. I kind of doubt it, but let's say I can. Say Teddy and I go at the same time to the next world. But the thing is, the thought of living without this dog is freaking me out. I don't want it. I can't take it anymore. I can't lose one more dog and see the ashes in a little box on my mantle with his little picture, the Snowy and the one before that, the little pictures. But there's someone I know who's very bright who said, look, Michael, here's the way you look at dogs who die before we do. She said, God set it up that way because if we died before them, they would be abandoned and be running on the roadside. So God set it up that they live fast lives. That's why they go crazy. Like, if you leave them in the house, like, for 5 minutes, you come back, it's 5 days to them. I have to trick this dog. I have to give him a greenie. He's eating the greenie. The next thing he knows, he hears the garage door closed, and he goes insane. Oh, God, no, his worst nightmare. He was tricked. I go on my little bicycle ride to get some cardio, right, for 5 minutes before going back into a darkened room to avoid a migraine from clamping on my head. And it's like he's a combination of sulking, he's hurt, he rolls over. It's like, why'd you ditch me? Why'd you do it? Why'd you leave me for 5 days? It was all of 7 minutes. It's unbelievable to me, but then I realized why. If they only live, let's say, an average of 10, 12 years of dog, and dog time, right? In dog time, to them, it is like 5 years, I guess, or something like that. But I hope he goes on to 20. That'd be nice. You know, we got old guys together hanging out. How's it feel? How are your legs today? Not bad. No, not bad. Not doing good. It's okay. I'll get by. You know, I just hang out, go to Miami, get the hats. He doesn't show any sign of arthritis. And I feed him a human diet. I give him kibble. I give him chicken breast. Yes, a whole chicken breast. I know people are going to hate me. I buy cooked chicken. The breast is his. Skin comes off. Cut the breast in the thing. Fresh organic carrots. Boom. And then he goes crazy for a greenie. Once in a while, he gets cheese. Once in a while, I go to a Basque restaurant, he gets a sirloin burger. He gets a Roger burger from a Chalet Basque. What a lucky dog. Well, there's a trick to why I order the hamburger for the dog. As you know, I have no patience whatsoever. I am the most impatient man ever put on the planet. I have no patience. And yet, as a child, I built models. Figure that one out. It's a weird paradox. I'm sure they declare it a disease of some kind, put me on medication today. I have no patience, yet I could sit for hours and build models as a child. Do kids build models anymore? No, that's an illness. Could you imagine a child building a stick model of an airplane and putting, like, paper on it today? They would call up a psychiatrist and say he's very sick, he's socially inept. A boy his age should be on medication and playing video games or dressing in his sister's clothing. This child, there's something wrong with him. He's actually putting on pants and boy's shoes. We have to look into this immediately. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
One nation where borders, language, and culture still matter. The Savage Nation. Weeknights at 6 on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
The Navy is checking to see if the suspect had received treatment for psychological issues. Alexis treatment. Has a history of disturbing behavior. He was arrested in 2010, accused of recklessly discharging a firearm into a neighbor's apartment. And in 2004, Alexis confessed to shooting out the tires of another man's car.
He strikes me as a guy that's been going downhill for probably a number of months, if not years. And he just couldn't take it anymore.
Oh, I see. The system failed him. He slipped through the cracks. Where did we fail, poor Alexis? Poor man. Now, if I did that, let's say I, Michael Savage, conservative, shot tires for a contract to park to my driver, shot a gun through the ceiling. Do you think that I would have been promoted in radio? Tell me what would happen the next day. Oh, Michael, we understand that you're a little tense right now. We're going to give you the Empire State Building Broadcasting Studios. Yeah, let's move them up. That's your government at work. WABC Greg, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
How much longer are you going to be feeding Teddy chicken breasts now that we're going to be sending our chickens to China to be processed and sent back?
Yeah, maybe you'll learn to speak Mandarin as a result.
Ah, at the very least. I mean, what kind
If he gets chicken back from China, then he could buy them speaking Mandarin. Who knows?
Going to buy them from the dead chicken man over in China.
At least you're able to laugh at it. The chicken I feed Teddy with his kibble, Greg, I buy it in a local market. It's called a Mary's Chicken. What do I know where it's processed? Mary. They come up with, like, local name. What do I know? They say it's local. It's like a hippie chicken, apparently. It's happy to be killed. It puts its neck in a guillotine to die. I don't know. What do I know? I love all of the hippies, right? Oh, I'm eating farm-raised beef. Well, what do you want, a reward? It's still a cow. It didn't want to die, you idiot. Yeah, I eat organic. Every schmuck I meet is, I'm gluten-free. Well, what the hell does it matter to me, idiot? What do I care if you're gluten-free? What, are you special? Everyone's gluten-free. Like, it's like kosher to them. They think they're like rabbis and rabbinettes. Yeah, I'm gluten-free. I'm sorry I can't come to your house. I'm so much better than you. Wow, I can. Really, gluten-free? No kidding. How'd you get that? Well, I'm very special, yes. And listen to me. Let me tell you something about gluten-free. Are you ready for this? First of all, from the get-go, there are people who have celiac disease who need to avoid gluten. The rest of you are being conned by a fad. Now you'll say,
wait a minute,
I feel better since I went gluten-free. Good for you. It's called placebo effect. It's well known in medicine. It's a placebo effect. Moreover, when you're watching your diet for anything, you tend to eat better. So don't assign it automatically to the gliadin in the wheat fraction. So then you say to the uneducated moron, tell me how the human race survived for 5,000 years or more on wheat. How did they suddenly develop gluten allergies? Oh, well, it's not the same wheat that your ancestors ate. See, they have the built-in answer already. I've been around this all my life, the people who have capitalized on fears to sell things to those who are, let us say, a little weak of mind. So that's it. Don't get me stuck. Gluten-free. Everyone's gluten-free. WABC Mike, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, you have to save us from 3 to 6 on WABC here in New York. I can't take the wall banger anymore. It's like listening to MSNBC. When are we going to get you?
Well, I don't know. I made a prediction a few weeks ago that I predicted could happen. Do I know what the powers that be may do? I don't know. But the thing is, when you listen to the wall banger on ABC New York and Drive Time, you're saying he just repeats the talking points of the GOP?
But I don't listen to him anymore. I can't take it. I hang out at a cigar bar after work every night with two Russian refuseniks that came over 25 years ago. They say to me, Mike, why is this country going in the direction of the country that we escaped from? Now we're here.
Oh, that's music to savages' ears.
Of course it
now,
is.
Now, do these Ruskies listen to me at night, 9 o'clock, or it's too late for them?
Yes, no, well, no, I tell them to listen to you, but
9 o'clock already, they're asleep. They talk tough by day, and they go to sleep at 8:30. I'm just joking. Mike, everyone else, I'll be back. It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I'll turn it off. It's horrible. It's. I could do a better job than Frankie Lane. It should be slower. While that lucky old son has nothing to do. That's the version I want to hear. I don't know who did it. I have no idea. Look, it's The Savage Nation. I'm a little slow today. I think I figured out why. A, I'm overloaded with work. I'm doing too many things. You talk about multitasking. I'm doing too many things at once. That's number one. Number two, after the show last night, I went to a new pizzeria alone by myself. Closes about an hour after I'm off the air. And I had a goat cheese pizza with a beer. I say, all right, what's the big deal? Well, for one, I don't eat dairy. I'm allergic to cow's milk, so I had goat's milk. I said, I don't react to goat. But I couldn't get up this morning. I wanted to lay in bed. I felt like glue was in my head. I think I have a generalized, dairy allergy. It's like I react to it that way. It's not like I get sick from it. It's not like I need to be gluten-free or I'm going to die. I don't have celiac disease with gluten. It's not the same thing as a lactose-lactase deal. You shouldn't eat that garbage. It's as simple as that. I should have had a salad and a glass of wine. I mean, you look at the two types of people from Europe. It's well known. The wine drinkers are slim people. The beer drinkers are stout, Northern Europe, Germany. They were generally stout. Not anymore today, no. Now they were like Nordic gods. They can't defend their country, though. That's the only difference. They all run. They jog. They look good. They go to Copenhagen. They go to Mallorca. They come to San Francisco, and they can't defend themselves from the invasion. You know, there was a comedian in my day named Jimmy Durante. No one remembers him. I used to like him for some reason. He looked like Cyrano de Bergerac. He had a weird face, big nose. And as a kid, isn't it funny how when you're a kid and you're I was thinking a lot lately about being 11, 10, 11, 9, 10, 11, 12, and the shows I would watch on TV, the news and who I liked, which newscasters, which entertainers I liked, because they all influenced me. Now, for some reason, I liked Jimmy Durante. And some of the lines he said, I was a little kid, but they stuck with me, such as, be awfully nice to all the people you meet on the way up. Guess you're going to meet them all on the way down. You know, I didn't know what it meant exactly, but I loved that line, and it always stuck with me. Now, here's another line from childhood that stuck with me. I remember Jamaica High School. The principal's name was Shooker. He was like a tough Jew. His name was Shooker. You know, even the name was tough. You had to be like, he used to punch kids in the nose who mouthed off to him. Imagine that. If you had a kid who belonged in a reform school or in a prison, opened his mouth up to him and gave him a blast in the nose with his fist, and nobody gave him a lawsuit. He kept the school in order. It was a clean school, no graffiti, no drugs, no sex in the locker room. It was a nice, clean school, and people learned, and they went on to better, you know, colleges and made a life for themselves. He's probably, you know, gone already. But I'll never forget one of the things he said in the auditorium. It stuck with me also, and I don't know why did it resonate with me. I couldn't have been more than, let's say, I entered high school at 13. I graduated high school at 16. I graduated 16, high school, blah, blah, blah. So I must have been 14, 15. Oh, so I was in the assembly. So the principal's giving a speech. They used to give you pep talks. And one of the speeches he said, in the middle of it, I heard a line from Shakespeare. And it went something along these lines. Some men are born great. Some men have greatness foisted upon them. And others achieve greatness. And I sat in that room knowing I was a poor kid. I had no idea how I was going to get ahead in this crazy country of ours. I had no idea how I was going to ever buy a car, how I was going to have a career. I didn't know anybody who could help me. There was no, like, secret handshake, no family connections, no family money. So I said, "What is it? Some people are born great." I said, "Rule that out. You aren't born great. Some people have a greatness foisted upon them." I said, "Forget about it. There's no nepotism. No one's giving you greatness. And others achieve greatness." I said, "Well, if you're going to do anything in life, you better do it on your own." How did I come to that on my own? No one explained it to me. What I'm saying to you is education is very interesting. You expose children to various fabulous, inspirational ideas. And they will then come up to whatever they are within themselves. It's up to them. You can't build it. You can't make it. You can't give them self-esteem. You can't tell them, you know, that they're something when they're not. They know that you're lying to them. A child knows more than you do when you give them a grade they don't deserve or a reward they didn't win. You know what I'm saying? You're not doing them a favor. And so everything I've had in my life, I had to struggle for. I had to, like with toenails, fingernails, claws, teeth, climbing over hot rocks, working late at night when I didn't want to work, working three jobs when I didn't want to work the three jobs. What's the difference? What am I on earth for, to not work? I could never retire. I am not the type that could retire. Maybe you can. I know men who are born into money. I think they actually, some of them know how to live well. I don't know. But I met a bunch. You know, who knows? I don't know what they feel inside, a rich son. I don't know what a rich son feels like. There's a sense of worthlessness, I would assume, if they didn't outdo their father. That's what I would think. If the son is born into a certain degree of comfort and he doesn't outdo the father, he has to have a degree of a sense of failure, I would think. I'm not saying it's a given. I would imagine. I think it's a blessing, actually, to be born poor. To be frank with you. Now, I don't think I wanted to be born poor. I'll never forget the horrible, disgusting winters in Queens, New York. The slush, the Q44A, the IRT, the stinking jobs, the subway, the rocking cars, the raincoat, the sweat in the raincoat. One bad job after another, not knowing what tomorrow would bring. No, I didn't enjoy it. I wish my father had had money and I could have walked into a factory and run it. But that's not the way it worked for me. So as I say to you, I can't say it's been luck, but I will tell you there's an element of luck in my life. And I'm not trying to give you a whole story or in a homily. But thinking back on it, I don't even know why I'm doing it. Maybe it's a time of reflection before autumn. Who knows? Right now I'm on air with the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-400-7282. We've been talking about the shooter, mental illness, violent video games. And then I asked you a loaded question about one of my competitors called Wall Blanker. Sean Wall Blanker. Because the Fox Network announced the change of the thing, and he tried to put a spin on it today. I felt a little sympathy for him, but at the end of the day, he feels no sympathy for me. Let me put it to you that way. Let me tell you something about the business I'm in. It is the most ruthless, cutthroat business in the world, and there are no friends that I know of. Yeah, maybe he's friends with the guys, you know, with the book job, but you know what? Let's see how long that lasts. The little club that they all have together. Let's see how long that lasts when one of them slips off the old maypole. We'll see how long they like him. So they announced, for example, that Megyn Kelly now has a new show. She's taking his slot, and he's going to spend more time with his family. I said, "Are you kidding me? What, you didn't know you had a family last month? Now you're looking forward to staying at home and listening to the dishes being washed? What are you talking about? Yeah, can't wait to come home at night and listen to the dishes be washed. I can't wait to watch the kid watching video games. So then the Kelly file, they're moving her up. You know, everyone's growling. Oh. I said it's a bad name. It's like Nova in South America, no-go. Because if you say the Kelly file, the first thing you think of is a chick filing her nails. I'm sorry, it's like a stereotype. It's like the Kelly file. Everything for your nails and more, brought to you by Revlon, the Kelly file. Oh, I'm just kidding. She's a wonderful gal. She's terrific. She's the best. Go, go, go. They hate me at Fox for some reason. I don't know why, and they shouldn't. I'm their natural friend. When I first started, both the Leprechaun and Wallbanger would fight over me with my first book, Who Could Get Me On First. And then all of a sudden, they saw me as a competitor. Could it be because in the political zoo, I called Bill O'Reilly the Leprechaun and wrote a chapter on him? I don't know. Could it be because I called the other one Wallbanger and wrote a chapter on him? I don't know. It could be. I have no idea why people don't like me and have me on their shows. I just don't understand it. So let's take some calls now on why the Wallbanger is being bounced late at night on Fox, and what you think of the Kelly file, if you think it's a bad nomenclature. I think it's terrible. Don't even call about her. She's actually not bad. To be frank, I think she's got guts and she does a good show, to be frank with you. I was never a fan of Scarface. The what's that group, that fake religious group that she belongs to with the husband? It was in the media for years. I'm not into Scientology. I mean, you know, I can look. After the surgery, the face surgery, I don't know. What's that about? What's that about? I just don't know. I mean, I'm in my own world here. Then gluten-free pizza, goat cheese pizza last night and a beer. I couldn't get up in the morning. Oh, God. Forget about it. Then I can't have goat cheese pizza again now. But the shooter, another nut. Drugs, violent video games, moved him up in the military anyway. In the Office of Naval Intelligence. Yes, ma'am. I mean, yes, sir. You're fired. They don't know what to call them, the admirals that they put in there. They can't drive a ship. They can't shoot a gun, but they make the women, yes, ma'am. I mean, yes, sir. You're fired. Then they bring in all their girlfriends. I'm going, Lieutenant Commander Joan. Yeah, yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. You're fired, too. What do you mean? What a Navy. It's like a nut house. The new Navy. They can't fly airplanes. They can't fire guns, and they can't steer ships. They turn them into vice admirals, and they run everything. That's the world I live in. No wonder they canceled the venture in Syria. They don't know how to fire the gun. I don't know why. Could be they got a report back. Kerry got a report back the day before, and they didn't know how to fire the Tomahawks. I don't know who's running a Tomahawk. Who's on the ships anymore? I was on a ship a few years ago, the aircraft carrier. It was like watching a ballet dancer, the young guys who fly the F-A-18 Hornets. They're my heroes. Just astounding. The officer class, old-time, real Navy. Now you go below the decks. I thought I was in a junior high school. I was teaching in a junior high. It was like gangbangers walking around with their dungarees hanging down under their behind. How does that ship run? That was like the guy who was the aircraft mechanic down below. He's fixing the jet engines? Great. Yeah, I really want to go on a bombing mission to Iraq. I want to come back to this guy to fix my engine. Thank you very much. Yes, sir. I mean, yes, ma'am. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Aaron wasn't conservative like I am. He was more of a liberal type. He wasn't happy with the former administration.
That's the shooter. He was that's more happy Derek with this All right, we got it already. If he looked like Timothy McVeigh, he'd be on Good Morning America. They'd be visiting his grandmother now somewhere. What a country. Now they're putting up AR-15 like he used an assault weapon. This piece of garbage who killed those people bought a Remington 870 shotgun and 15 shotgun shells, which he used to kill 12 innocent people. He blasted them with a shotgun. And the story about the AR-15 was never used by anyone but law enforcement at the shooting on Monday. So I would like to suggest, since we've been hearing about people shot with AR-15s, with the round is a .223, by the way. If anybody was shot with a .223, that's friendly fire. That means some of the police killed some of the people, if that is the case. That's been kind of a hushed-up deal. You know, they said he had an AR-15, handgun, shotgun. No, he had only a shotgun. And he didn't kill anyone with a handgun. He didn't kill any more than AR-15. If anyone was, God forbid, shot with an AR-15, My friends, that's a little friendly fire here. That's why I've been talking about gluten-free pizza. I'd rather talk about my dog's diet and gluten-free pizza than this animal who shot them yesterday. The sympathy in the media is overwhelming. Oh, poor man, he fell through the cracks. Oh, the system failed him. Oh, if only we had reached out. Oh, if only this. Oh, if only that. Ban violent video games and keep the nuts out of the military. And stop promoting idiots who don't even belong in the military. Stop pushing the white males out of every position and putting morons in their place. It happened to the universities, and look where we are with them. They took men like me who would have been a great professor, and look where I am today. I'm here, what, because I'm stupid? Take a look at what's gone on in the universities, because white men like me were told you not need apply. So look where I am. Look how I've risen to the top of my field in broadcasting. I'm a best-selling author, and I wouldn't have been a good professor. Instead, some moron's a better professor than me. No, that's why the universities have turned into the cesspools they are. And now apply the same logic to the military. How long do you think we can have a country left with this thinking, if you want to call it thinking? Take a look at what's going on in the Navy. Yes, sir. I mean, yes, ma'am, you're fired. Yes, ma'am, you're fired. You should have said yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I mean, yes, sir, you're fired, too. That's what's going on in the Navy. Yes, ma'am. They can't fire a gun. They can't steer a ship. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Take a look at them. Take a look at them, what they're promoting now in this country. No wonder the Russians are laughing at us. But then take a look at white males like John Kerry. What, he's a bargain because he's a white male? I mean, he looks the typical aristocrat. You know, the kind of guy who was an arista in high school, tall with a jaw. He was an SOB from the get-go. I take one look at John Kerry from the day he entered the scene. He was the type of kid in high school who would step on your foot in gym class and then say that you stepped on his foot. That's what he looked like to me. Look where he is. You know the type. You know what rises to the top. You know how it works. In that field, in politics? Are you kidding me? What, the best and the brightest go to the top? Let me tell you something, my friends. The best and the brightest don't go into politics. The best and the brightest are not in the political world. The best and the brightest are not in the political world, which is why we have Harry Reid there, which is why we have John Boehner there, which is why we have Nancy Pelosi. Should we go to war or not, Miss? Spoke to my grandpa, and I said, Nanny, should we go to war in Syria? Well, normally I'm against war, but Nanny, we should go to war because of the children. That's the ex-speaker of the House who pushed Obamacare down our throats. Nanny, should we go to war? I couldn't believe what I'm listening to. Then Obama was having Latin night last night in the White House. He had to cancel it. Another party shot. Another party down the tubes. Throw out the guacamole. They mixed up for the party because of the shooting. Man, all that guacamole thrown into the Potomac. What a country. Yeah, sequester is causing the problem. The idiot. He shot him because of the sequester. Right, of course. That's why they cut back on Air Force One's trips. Yeah, the sequester cut back on the Obama's trips and her staff. Last night, chick was 56 people. She didn't fire one person. Somehow the sequester didn't affect the hairdresser in the White House or the personal chef for the dog. Remember they flew the dog to Martha's Vineyard on Osprey? Do you remember that? 22 of our Navy SEALs were killed because they put them on an old stinking helicopter and sent them to their deaths. They plummeted to the ground. Why? But the dog they put on an Osprey. That's your government at work. It's disgusting. In any other country, this guy would have been impeached yesterday. And if you think it's only that, you're mistaken. The poverty rate is higher than it's ever been in the country. Here's the article. You don't believe me? Wait a minute. Here. You think I'm making it up? Census on Obama's first term. Record 46 million now poor. During the 4 years that marked President Barack Obama's first term in office, the real meaning of American households dropped $2,600. The number of people in poverty increased by approximately 6.6 million, according to data released today by the Census Bureau. 46 million of you are now poor. Has he cut back on one personal assistant? Has she cut back on one personal assistant? Have they stopped abusing Air Force 1, 2, 3, and 4? There is no 4. No. It's all the Romanovs all over again. The king has no clothes, huh?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage File. Welcome back to the Savage File. I'm sitting here filing my nails, waiting for Megyn Kelly to file her nails on Fox next week as Hannity goes home to discover his family earlier, because he said, look, he can't wait to spend time with his family. I mean, he didn't know about his family last month, but apparently he found them now. That's really great. Ah, come on, it's all kidding. Yeah, it's fraternal. We all love each other. You know, it's a nice business. So why is Hannity being bounced? Why do you think his ratings collapsed on television? Now, look, whatever you're going to say, don't get nasty. You don't have to get nasty about it. We all rib each other, right? Yeah, we're all friends. But the thing is this. I said this to someone in the media 2 weeks ago. They said, you know, you're right. What time am I on in New York in the East Coast? 9 o'clock. What time was Wallbanger on? 9 o'clock. What changed last January in radio? I came along. I'm a giant in radio. My time changed head-to-head with him, and his ratings slipped by 50%. So let me tell you something. You could say, well, no. Well, yes, I'm number one in digital radio in the country. I don't know if the latest I'm one now. I don't know. I was one. It's either one or two with Russia. It could be different. I have a very big following of younger people who listen to me on digital. You know, the iPhone, the schmiphone, the my phone, your phone, his phone, the buyer phone, your phone, my phone, all aboard. But the thing is, they listen to me. They like the show. Younger guys, I don't know, they like me. Younger guys like the show for some reason. The old men are still, a lot of them are very liberal, by the way. A lot of old, you don't understand this, a lot of old white guys are very liberal. They're idiots. They're morons. They're digging their own grave and throwing the lime in it, but they don't even understand that. Oh, yeah, I'm a liberal. What are you liberal for, you moron? You haven't seen what's happened to your country because you were unwilling to stand up for what you believed in, or you never believed in anything? Which was it? Or is it both of the above? What do you mean you're a liberal? How could you be a liberal seeing what liberals did and are doing to the country? Oh, yeah, right. Well, what have the Republicans done? Well, that's because they're liberals, too. What, the Republicans you think are conservatives? The only thing that could save America is a conservative party. A conservative party. Only a real right-wing revolution can save America from where it's going. The only thing that could save America is a Putin-like person running this country. And I've said it. Only a right-wing person can save America from the psychosis of liberalism. There, I got it out of my system. Now I can move on. Let's take some calls. WABC. In New York, O-R-Y, Ori, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael, you took the words right out of my mouth. I am one of those young people who has switched from Hannity to Michael Savage, and I listen digitally, as you say, so you're right on with that. I just want to say about Wallbanger, I think that his demotion with his boring, irrelevant babbling about the Constitution and Reagan, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, God, how can they do it? How many times can you mention Constitution, Ronald Reagan? I can't take it. It sounds to me like a bad history teacher in high school that I threw ink at.
It is, and he's also unable to ever win an argument with anybody. But I think that this entity that is Sean Hannity is really the Republican Party, and that you see both of them are dim bulbs. They can't.
You know, it's very sad what you just said, but he almost stepped. He almost committed Harry Carey today on the radio. I was listening to the poor guy, and he was going on and on about how this is really a promotion, and he sounded pathetic, and I felt bad for him, and I would have said, Sean, stop. Go to break. Don't do this. He goes on and on and starts to say, I never thought that a little kid from Rockville Center would be in the White House talking to presidents. I said, Sean, stop. Stop it. He didn't even understand that's why he's dying in television.
He's dying just like the GOP is dying. They're both dim bulbs. And it's people like Michael Savage and people like Alan West and Ted Cruz, real men who tell the truth and fight for real values, who will save the right wing and ultimately the nation.
Well, I hope so. I love Alan West. I wish he'd run for the presidency. I frankly think he'd make I know he'd be a great president, but I know that the Republican establishment is so against Alan West that it's almost impossible odds. It's almost like Moses having to part the Red Sea, Alan West running for higher office. Look what they did to him in Florida.
Michael, Alan,
I don't know. Now it could be a setup call when next time you say I have bad teeth and I get mad at you. What? What's on your mind?
Michael, Dr. Savage, Alan West is a real man with real values, and that's why the GOP won't support him, because they're too busy supporting empty people like John Boehner and John McCain and Eric Cantor and these nobodies who are going to fail.
But here's the thing you got to understand. You see, you're right in theory, but you don't really, I don't think people really understand why the Republicans, so-called, are unwilling to stand up to Obama. What they don't get is that they don't have to stand up to Obama. They're getting everything they wanted. I heard before the election of Obama in the first election that it was a shoo-in that he was going to win. And I was told that's because the Republicans wanted Obama to win. And I said, what? Someone very smart in the political world said to me, the reason they want a Democrat to win is so they can keep attacking him for 8 years while making as much money as they did before he took power, and he takes the blame for it. That's what I was told. That's how the game is being played.
These people are all bought off already by people like Sheldon Adelson. They don't stand for any values anymore.
Well, look at Sheldon Adelson, a big supporter of Gingrich. What does that tell you to start with? Anti-Obama, then all of a sudden he's Mr. Military. He wants bombing. How did Adelson suddenly want bombing in Syria? What did that have to do with him? Why?
He's a big Israel supporter. And
that's right. Put two and two together. That's right. I am an Israel supporter, but not at the cost of America's sovereignty. Okay, is that clear? And you know what? I'm the only one who articulated this, that it was Israel from the get-go pushing us into war with Syria and possibly World War III with Russia and China. I was the one who was saying it. Nobody else said that in radio. Am I right about that or wrong? Did you hear anyone else saying that when I was saying it?
I didn't hear anybody else, Mike. You're
no,
the only
no one.
One
else dared say it because I'll tell you what it is. It's like a litmus test in America, especially amongst the so-called conservatives. There is a litmus test, and there's areas you can't go and things you can't say. The things they always say is Constitution, Ronald Reagan, etc. Nice guy, Ronald Reagan, but not God. Made a lot of mistakes unto himself, by the way, and I criticized him when he was president before I was on radio. For example, Ronald Reagan decimated the American farmer. Ronald Reagan decimated the small farmer in America. People don't know that. I was not in politics at the time. I'll never forget reading a story about an American farmer somewhere in the Midwest who shot himself in his barn because a farm he had inherited from his father was being auctioned off, and they were auctioning off his rake, his rakes, his hose, his tractors, and his farm animals. The man shot himself in the barn, and it was because Ronald Reagan changed the rules on subsidies or something to make it more friendly for a mega agribusiness, and that man killed himself, and I never forgot it. So I remember the whole history of Ronald Reagan. He made a few other mistakes, but no one's perfect. By and large, he was a good president. But he was not the Holy Grail, is the point. And by the way, shall I go into the Founding Fathers for you, who they really were? Would you like to hear that?
Go for it.
Well, I'm not going to do it right now. I think one day I'm going to do a whole show on who the Founding Fathers really were. Again, why are you deifying the Founding Fathers like they were some gods? First of all, women couldn't vote. Minorities couldn't vote. Only landowners could vote. Now, some would argue that would be great today. That's not happening in the world today, so let's forget about that. They weren't particularly great men. Some of them were far-thinking. They weren't these gods beyond anybody in mind. Are you kidding me? They weren't gods beyond anyone's thinking. They were pretty intelligent men. They had a good thing going. They killed the Indians, stole their land, planted the corn, and then when the Indians were in the backyard taking a piece of corn, they killed the rest of them, put them out west. Then when they found there was oil underneath the Indians, they threw them out again. They're very, very nice history of the country. Very nice. First they made their friend me give you a wampum, and we're going to come have the turkey, and then took away Massachusetts. The Indians said, all right, let them take Massachusetts. We still have New Hampshire and Rhode Island. The next thing they knew, they were on a one-way train to Charlottesville. 1-855-407-282. No, the Trail of Tears. I'm a student of American history. That's why I know it. People were here 20,000 years of civilization, different civilization than ours, of course. It's just the way of the world. It's one invading race pushes out another, the existing invading race. Sort of what you're experiencing right now. You are... Let's say you're listening to the show. You're the American Indian of 150 to 200 years ago. You're being colonized, and you're being pushed out of your own country. You don't recognize it, though. You still got the barbecue, the shorts, the tongues. You got the cable. You got the television at night. You got the Prozac. You got the beer. Whatever you want, but you don't realize you're being pushed off the reservation. You're being put on a one-way train to Charlottesville, but you don't know that yet either. Wait until Obama really gears up and grants amnesty to 60 million illegal aliens. You're going to wake up and it's not going to be your country anymore. And you're going to say, how the heck did this happen? How the heck did this happen? Could have been stopped. Still could be stopped. Impeach him now. Impeach Obama now. Stop him in his tracks. No more executive orders. No seizing guns. No amnesty for illegal aliens. You could stop that man now with an impeachment hearing. It wouldn't matter whether you could impeach him, but you could stop him for what he's about to do. But who are you going to ask? The Clink? You're going to ask Clink in the cloakroom there? Give me the clink sound, Neil. Let me hear the clink. Yeah, does anyone know where Boehner is? Hey, John. Hey, John, we got you a little something for you to come out on the floor for. Huh? Yeah, let me put a coat on, a coat and tie. You're going to ask Clink to do it? Right. Okay, one man's opinion. That's all. That's all. It's a weird night. Missed warning. Police told Navy last month gunman was unstable. You hear? The Navy? What do you mean? Say Navy? Oh, yeah, yes, sir. I mean, yes, ma'am. What are you, Navy? There is no Navy. You heard there's no England anymore? There's no Navy anymore. There's no Navy anymore. It's like a floating brothel with propellers now. A Rhode Island officer reported Navy Yard shooter Aaron Alexis to Naval Station Police last month after Alexis told cops he was hearing voices through a wall and three people were following him. I have the police report. I read it to you tonight. I read the police report. I had it at the beginning of the show. So you know what the naval officer said? Not the whole story that Fox News reported. The police officer said to Mr. Alexis, I love Mr. Alexis. Mr. Alexis, will you come with me, please? I know you just murdered 12. They told Mr. Alexis, listen, I swear to God. The guy says three people are following him. He described them. So the cop says to him, I'm reading now from the police. I advised the shooter to stay away from the individuals that are following him and to notify the Newport Police Department if they attempt to make contact with him. So the cop was crazier than him. Is that the proper thing for a cop to tell a guy? You got a nut who says three people are following me. They're imagining him. So now you tell him, don't talk to those people and notify the police department if the people who aren't there attempt to make contact with you. The cop should now be taken in. Is he on the same medication? But as I said at the beginning of the show, this guy was promoted in the Navy, even though they knew he was a nut talking to himself. So what's unusual about that in the Obama government and the new military under Obama? Navy Yard. They don't build ships there anymore. They don't make ordnance. Navy Yard means a campus for contractors. I didn't say they should be hurt or shot. Don't get me wrong. But stop with the Navy. It's not a Navy Yard the way you think of it, with blowtorches building, you know, iron on the side of it. They're not building guns. Navy. Yes, sir. I mean, yes, ma'am. Right. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. With the whistle. No, not there anymore. No, sir. No, whistle me aboard. No whistle me aboard. No, sir. There's no more ships being built, no ordnance being built at the Naval Yard, the Navy Shipyard. No ships being built. No ordnance being created. It's a contractor's haven. And this nut was put into the nerve network of the U.S. Navy to refresh our computers for the U.S. Marine Corps. It's unbelievable to me. And by the way, there was a link yesterday that I talked about on the show that he went to Thailand for some invisible trip. No one knows what he went for. And I said on this show, honestly, that if I were the FBI, I'd dispatch, well, you have FBI agents everywhere. You have to look into where this guy was in Thailand. What was he doing there? You look into it. What was he doing there? Studying recipes? We don't know. But you look into it. You say, well, what was he doing there? There was just a mass shooting here from a nut on a Navy base. So you say, well, what was he doing in Thailand? No one looked into that. No follow-up. But did you hear the FBI director? Let's get the FBI director. This is the new FBI. Which one? A friend named Michael Retrovio. Here. Valerie, Assistant FBI Director Valerie Perlave in clip 6. Well, we're coming back from the lanes yesterday. The girls and I were having a little R&R. Well, listen to clip 6.
At this time, we believe that Mr. Alexis entered building 197 at the Navy Yard with a shotgun.
Yeah,
We do not have any information at this time that he had an AR-15 in his possession.
Yeah, right.
We also believe Mr. Alexis may have gained access to a handgun once inside the facility and after he began shooting.
We got an AR-15 here. We have a code 9030204. Clear the area, will you? The girls and I have to step out onto the plaza now. We have the microphone. Now, let's have the plaza cleared, please. All right, girls, I'm going to go out on the plaza now and give another important speech about the AR-15 and the 43902. What a bunch of idiots. I'll be right back. I can't take it. Can you?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I mean, the world has already moved on. They're talking about games already. The gunmen didn't matter. The 12 are dead. And the reason it's being pushed off the headlines is because he doesn't look like Timothy McVeigh. That's the truth. You know that. If this shooter had looked like Timothy McVeigh, they would not let this go. It's like the Matthew Shepard murder.
10, 15 years ago. Did you see what came out in Wet in 2 seconds in the media the other day? Remember the big story, Matthew Shepard was killed because he was gay? According to a report that came out the other day, or a book, his former lover killed him. It had nothing to do with him being gay. But remember how long that was front and center in the media? There's no bias in the media. No, there's no yellow journalism. No, there's just no journalism at all. Forget yellow journalism. WMAL in Washington. Pete, you're calling on the issue of the wall banger. What's on your mind, Pete?
Good evening, Dr. Savage. It is an honor and a privilege to talk to you. I'm calling from the nation's cesspool known as Washington, D.C.
Foggy Bottom, better known as the swamp.
Right. One thing about Mr. Hannity is that he would never, ever bring up racial issues, especially the black-on-white crime. And
oh, you mean the low epidemic that's creeping across America since the Zimmerman case?
Exactly. And he, until recently, when it finally made mainstream news from Drudge and other mainstream sources, even though you and a couple other radio shows have been talking about it for years, Wallbanger decided to talk about it on the air. And I just happened to be flipping through the radio dial, and he was talking about it, and I almost crashed my car.
What do you mean, why?
Because he would never bring up any racial issues when it comes to black-on-white crime, affirmative action, or how...
Well, because he was never affected by affirmative action. He got very lucky very early in life. They took the equivalent of a pool boy and made him into a talk show host, and he's shocked at how far he's risen. I mean, he started as a fill-in for the golfer, and he never believed he'd be this rich and this famous. So, look, everyone has their run. He's had a very good run. Now he's going to have a lot of time to spend with his family. How's that for a cover story?
Outstanding.
Look, the fact of the matter is, this guy, this killer, was crazy. He didn't belong in the Navy. He was talking to himself. He heard voices in his head. He thought they were following him, and yet he was promoted. Glowing recommendations in the new Navy. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Treated by the United States for serious... Look at the top of Drudge. Navy Yard gunman was treated by U.S. for serious mental illness. Did it stop him from promoting him? No. How many members of Congress are on medication? How many members of the Democrat Party hear voices in their head? I would say... I can't give you a percentage. I would say a very high percentage of members of the Democrat Party in Congress hear voices in their head. Because no matter what anyone says to them, they do the same thing anyway. Take an example. Nancy Pelosi. We're talking about an issue of war and peace. We're talking about whether to bomb a sovereign nation that was not threatening us. And that lunatic gets in public and starts... Talk to my granddaughter and ask, Ninny, should we go to war? But I call her Ninny. And she says, no, Grandma, no, go to war. And I said, well, I normally am not against war, I said to my granddaughter. But the little children were killed in the war. And my granddaughter said, no war anyway, Grandma. But I said to her, go to war anyway. What? This woman doesn't have voices in her head? Obama, who still thinks he's the leader of the free world? Eric Holder doesn't have voices in his head telling me he's a wonderful, great man? Did you hear his speech at the American Bar Association? How esteemed all lawyers are and how good they are for society? They're not walking madmen. And they have an army at their disposal. They don't just have a shotgun. They have the Army, Navy, and Air Corps.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282, SAVAGE. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Here we are, hour number three of The Savage Nation for Tuesday, September 17th, 2013. Look, everyone's talking about the madman who did the shooting up at the Naval Contracting Center there, the campus, they call it, He killed how many people? 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. How many did he wound? Now, here's the crazy part. The man was a maniac who was on psychiatric drugs. The man was certifiably committable, and yet he got one promotion after another by your new Navy. See, it's not your father's Navy. Even though he shot a bullet through his neighbor's roof, meaning through his floor, even though he shot up neighbors next door who were apparently he didn't like, he was promoted in the Navy. He was considered a great worker. Well, we have for you the Newport Police Department report for this fine, upstanding gentleman who is now in heaven, I'm sure. Because after all, he was a victim of his own mental problems. He didn't actually shoot anyone. It was his demons that did it. So here's what a policeman wrote when they arrested him recently. On August 7th, 2013, I was assigned to car one. At about 6:23 hours, Officer Blank and I responded to me. On arrival at the Marriott Hotel room 405 for a harassment report, we met with, that's the guy who did the shooting. He stated that he's a naval contractor and that he travels often. He went on to explain that while getting onto his flight from Virginia to Rhode Island, he got into a verbal altercation with an unknown party in the airport. Mr. Shooter believes that the individual that he got into an argument with has sent three people to follow him and keep him awake by talking to him and sending vibrations into his body. Are you listening to this? Now, shall I go on? He stated that he has not witnessed any of these individuals, but believes that they are two black males and a black female. The shooter stated that he first heard them talking to him through a wall while at the Residence Inn in Middletown. Well, you get the picture, right? He's a certifiable lunatic, a madman, a crazy man. He did not belong, never mind in the Navy, working on computers. He belonged in a bug house in a straitjacket. Excuse me. That's too judgmental. I'm sorry. I really shouldn't. No, I was a little overly judgmental. Did you know the Navy Yard gunman earned glowing evaluations during his time as a reservist? Oh, yeah. The Navy Yard gunman who killed 12 people at a military facility typically earned rave reviews from his Navy superiors during his time in the service, though there were glimpses into the madness that drove him to mass murder. I'm not going to believe this. They wrote that he has unlimited potential. He displayed a get-it-done attitude. You're not going to believe it. You have to read it for yourself. Here's what one Navy officer wrote. Alexis will be a valuable asset to any civilian organization. That's in his final evaluation report of Aaron Alexis. Next, Alexis has been on board for a short time and has established himself as a get-it-done addition to the work center. Well, he sure got it done Monday. Shall I finish? The report called Alexis, who was 34, when he died? What do you mean when he died? What do you mean when he died? He didn't die. He didn't die from overwork. He was shot after killing people. They said he's a dedicated worker on aircraft electrical systems, and you wonder why airplanes are falling into the sea. Anyway, you get the picture. You get the picture. Psychiatric drugs, violent video games, attitude to beat the band, and forget about it. Yeah, well, the media is focusing on the fact that the Navy killer was being treated for mental illness. See, my position is that being found mentally unfit shouldn't have really stopped him from working in the Navy, because it's not stopped many government officials from working in the government. For example, Obama still thinks he's the leader of the free world. Nancy Pelosi, for example, channels her granddaughter to determine whether we should go to war or not. Kerry believes he's still a great statesman, even though he's thanking Putin for picking up the reins. And Boehner still finds himself relevant. So as you can see, mental illness is prevalent in the government today, so therefore the shooter really would have fit right in. By the way, you're listening to the Savage Nation. This is not a coming through the wall and through loose lip sync ships. You're actually not imagining this show. You're hearing it. It's a national radio show called the Savage Nation. My God, we've gone from building ships to loose lips in one generation. You know, the tragic shooting that left 13 people dead, including the gunman, Aaron Alexis, who's really a victim. I mean, you listen to MSNBC, he's a victim. He slipped through the cracks. The system failed him. That was true. He was a nut who shot his gun off at people who parked in his driveway. Another time he shot it through the ceiling of his apartment and almost killed a woman above him. But that didn't stop the Navy from giving him glowing reports. No, they moved him up. Yeah, they moved him up. One report after another, he was better than the day before. Glowing, wonderful genius. That's because he didn't look like Timothy McVeigh. So they figured one day he could be Navy Secretary, because he hadn't killed anyone yet. Now, well, unfortunately, he can't be promoted anymore. 855-107-282. Okay, we got something no one else has had yet, which is the police report of the nut, the shooter nut. This came in on August 7th. This is the Savage File, exclusively now on the Savage Nation, is a police incident report of the shooter in the Navy Yard incident. On August 7, 2013, a policeman reports he was assigned to car one. At about 0623 hours, Officer Blank and I were dispatched to the Marriott Hotel room 405 for a harassment report. I responded from City Yard. On arrival, we met with the shooter. We're not going to read his name. They deleted it. I'll call him Shooter, okay? On arrival, we met with the shooter, and he stated that he is a naval contractor and that he travels often. Shooter went on to explain that while getting onto his flight from Virginia to Rhode Island, he got into a verbal altercation with an unknown party in the airport. Shooter believes that the individual that he got into an argument with has sent three people to follow him and keep him awake by talking to him and sending vibrations into his body. Shooter stated that he has not witnessed any of these individuals, but believes they are two black males and a black female. Shooter stated that he first heard them talking to him through a wall while at the Residence Inn in Middletown. Shooter then packed up and went to a hotel in a Navy base, where he heard the same voices talking to him through the walls, floor, and ceiling. Shooter stated that he moved to his third hotel and is currently at the Marriott. Oh, God, this is crazy. This is unbelievable. Shooter first said that the three individuals were speaking to him through the floor. Then Shooter stated that the voices were coming through the ceiling. Shooter stated that the individuals are using some sort of microwave machine to send vibrations through the ceiling, penetrating his body so that he cannot fall asleep. When I asked the shooter what the individuals were saying to him, he would not elaborate. Shooter stated that he has never felt anything like this and is worried that these individuals are going to harm him. Shooter stated that he does not have a history of mental illness in his family and that he has never had any sort of mental episode. I advise Shooter to stay away from the individuals that are following him. Oh, that's the cop is nuttier than him. And to notify NPD if they attempt to make contact with him. What? The cop is crazier than the shooter. The guy says to him he has imaginary people following him, and the cop says to stay away from the imaginary people following him. Look at the country we're living in. I told you most people are on drugs. That was not made up. That is an incident report found by my staff here in the Savage Nation of the Newport Police Department. And I'm not going to read the officers' names because I'm starting to think maybe they should be rounded up. Location type, hotel, motel, Marriott Hotel, Newport, Rhode Island. Under Obama, everything's been wrecked. I don't think the country can ever come back. How can you get rid of the deadbeats he's put into all of these positions in the CIA, FBI, Naval Intelligence, DOD? How can you replace them? They're ensconced. Have you taken a look and listened to them recently? Have you listened to them? Have you heard them? Have you seen who's up front with this tragic shooting? Who's given the speeches? Have you seen who he's put in there? Is it any wonder that a guy with this record would be moved up in the Navy? No one's going to lose their job. Office of Naval Intelligence, right. Sure. WHAM in Rochester. Adam, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Oh, I smell a little conspiracy brewing here. Oh,
that's great. We needed that tonight. All right, let's hear the conspiracy.
Manchurian candidate. He's talking about how they're trying to brainwash him in his room, all that.
Oh, so you think the CIA was sound-waving him to get him nuts to shoot?
That. They put him on the meds to make you a little crazy.
Well, I heard the same thing about Timothy McVeigh. I heard the same thing about others. You know, there is always that suspicion about our big brother, or shall I say big sister, and how she operates. After all, let's face it, Obama and Kerry just had the greatest embarrassment in political history with Syria. Is that correct or incorrect?
No, that's absolutely correct.
The worst embarrassment in the history of a presidency occurred last week. Where now Russia, Putin, is now our Secretary of State. He's not busy enough being the President of Russia. He's now the Honorary Secretary of State for America. John Kerry has abandoned the job. He turned it over to Putin. Obama was going to have a big party last night. Think how that's hurting him now. He had to give up the Latino party last night in the White House. No, it's astounding to me. You have to be a very strong or a little bit crazy to do this anymore. To get up every morning and look at what Obama is doing to the country and the world and sort of like talk to an audience without losing your mind altogether is unbelievable to me. And by the way, what you are hearing is not coming to you through the floor unless you built your Dolby system into the rug. I don't know where you're hearing this. I mean, if you built your Dolby system into the walls, okay, then you're not nuts either. But if you're hearing this coming out of your filling, I would call 911 and immediately throw your gun down the toilet. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Playing the game online with some other individual, which was a pretty bloody game of shooting. He spent more time doing that than entertaining his guests. And I commented to Aaron on that, wow, man, you're you know, you're in your 30s, dude, you need to let that stuff go. And like I said, he was, I would comment, I would say things like, you know, you're a brother of another mother. And he would say things like, yeah, you're my Italian buddy, a mafia guy from New York. You know, so we had things we joked about.
All right, turn it over. Real genius. All right. So violent video games are the question now. The shooter, the lunatic, was a video game nut. You know my feelings on it after the other massacres that were related to medication. Psychiatric drugs, as you know, are overprescribed. And they also have rebound effects of violence. We've talked about it in a serious manner. I also believe violent video games should not only be edited, they should be banned completely. Violent video games are the equivalent of giving children crack and putting crack into their head. And yet, the lobbyists from the video game industry are so pronounced. And they're owned, by the way, by the same news companies that you're watching all day long. If you look at the interlocking corporate directorships, they bought all the video game companies. So do you actually think that if you have a discussion, see a discussion on should video games be banned like that, that if it's on CNN, they're going to say they should be banned? Of course not. I saw it today, right away. No. No, don't ban it. There are plenty of normal people who play it. They don't kill anyone. I heard that before. I believe there's a connection. I believe violent video games should be banned completely, especially for anyone under 65. I think over 65, you could play a violent video game in the old age home. And then as far as the overprescription of psychiatric drugs, are you kidding me? Are you joking? You don't see the medico-pharmaceutical complex at work here where they declare this illness, that illness. They make the illnesses up to push drugs on you. Forget about it. 855-407-282. Should violent video games be banned? It's a meat and potatoes easy question. I don't even know if I'd really rather talk about Hannity getting bounced on Fox, but no one took the bait. I would think you would go for that. I don't know. I would have thought that would have been a natural for talk radio. Yes, Mike. No, Mike. I love Wallbanger. I like his nail gun. I think his nail gun will look great late at night. Yes, Mike. I like the part in the middle of his head. Yes, Mike. He doesn't look like Lou Costello. No, Mike. He looks like Abbott Costello. No, Mike. He's good. I mean, no, nothing. Not one call on Hannity being bounced on Fox. Not a single call on that. Can you imagine? Is there anyone listening to the show? Is there a sporting event tonight that I don't know about, guys? I have three wonderful men who work for me. I don't watch sports myself. I don't play cards. Nothing. There's no, like, Tuesday night football that I'm... Tuesday night baseball, nothing. The weather's weird. Like, even out here, I've already got... I'm putting away the summer clothes. I'm getting out the winter clothes. Then it's summer again here in the Bay Area. I had to pull out the short-sleeve shirt from Hawaii today. I was ready into the long sleeve. I smelled autumn in the air. 2 hours later, I'm back into the Aloha shirt that I wanted to burn already for the season. Thank God it's dark by the time the show is over the air. Oh, I can't wait. I love the late show. I mean, I started it when I was, another time slot. I was earlier. I run into people now in the Bay Area. Oh, are you still on the radio? You used to be on the radio? I feel like saying, I feel like taking an ice cream cone and putting them in their eye. That's only to make me, unhappy. That's why I don't talk to normal people. You can't talk to anyone who's not your peer in the world. Let me give you a key to that. I don't care what you do, what business you're in. Never talk to anyone below your level in anything. They will always look to put you down no matter how. They can't help it. Even by accident, they do it. Weren't you used to be in radio? I'm back on the air now a year on KSFO in San Francisco. They don't know I'm here. But don't worry. One of these days, I think my prediction's going to come true. You'll see. You wait and see what happens to the lineup with Savage. My prediction may come true yet. You never can tell what tomorrow will bring. Here we go. The callers came in. I baited him already. I have regulars. I got to hold on. Wait. I've been waiting for this moment. Hold on. Don't hang up on me. Are they still there? Is my audience still there? Yeah, they're still here. I thought they hung up on my radio station. I went to NPR. This is NPR. This is Obama Radio, brought to you by the government. Great victory in Syria. John Kerry, great Secretary of State. Hillary Clinton, the heroine, the lioness of Benghazi, will be with us soon on NPR. I got an email on the 24th of August, 8-24-13, from a long-term listener. Here's what he wrote. It was to a third party. He said, Mike, some of us hardcore listeners are like elephants. We never forget. I hope you'll appreciate my pet names. And yes, some of us got it when you mentioned Mickey Mouse. The funniest story from my listener's side is your program director. He goes, I can't mention some of these names. And he goes all the way into my history. and what the people who hate me say about me because they're jealous. Here they are. The biggest threat to Mike's SF Bay enemies are their own twisted, biased, and often racist, bigoted media sources. For example, the radical hippie station in Berkeley pretends to be a friendly, warm, and fuzzy, quote, alternative station, but the covert and overtly racist and bigoted content that slips past or gets a pass by the do-gooder liberals would get any commercial broadcast talent fired on the spot. If you lived in the San Francisco area for any amount of time, Mike, especially if you are an area native, it's no surprise to learn the white elite progressives pretend to love minorities in public, on air, and in front of video cameras. It's a different story when they retreat to their rich gated lily white herb and suburb communities where a minority guest is someone who does their house or yard work. He goes on and on. Mike won't mention names on air. Since Mike left his last syndicator and signed with Cumulus, including, now Mike is back syndicated on KSFO where he belongs and where he started. Can you play that thing I like, that song, the Journey song, Nights? Nights. I just want to get into a mood. I'm not in a mood yet. I can't even focus on the show today. I'm going through a lot of things that I can't talk about. Nothing bad. It's all good, but they're distracting me. Nah, I can't do it. I can't get schmaltzy. Turn it off. I'm not in it. Break the record tonight. I don't feel all of this. I don't get it. I know it's wrong. It's not into it, the boot. I try to get into it. I can't line myself up with this. I don't get it. I'm not into any of this. There's nothing to bash in the movies. There's nothing to bash on television. Obama has disappeared like a shadowy figure. Disappeared after Syria. He's like sulking. I don't even know if he's still in Washington. Where is the man? The greatest embarrassment in the history of American foreign relations occurred last week, and the president is nowhere to be seen. I find it odd that he made an extended recent trip to Thailand. Did you know about that? Oh, yeah. I know the girls who were in the lanes didn't pick up on that yet. They're still analyzing it over in the bowling lanes, but... Yeah, this shooter had a recent trip to Thailand, even though he was thrown out of the Navy. And even some of his own family are saying they haven't heard from him, hadn't heard from him recently. Isn't that interesting? How did he get a job in the nerve center of the Navy? And why did he pick people working in the nerve center of the Navy at a time when the Navy is off the coast of Syria? That's very intriguing. Now, he could be just a deranged guy with medication problems. Maybe the meds didn't arrive because Obamacare hasn't clicked in yet. Maybe he really did have PTSD. But I kind of doubt that he worked alone. That's my opinion. Whether or not we will ever know the full story is quite another question, by the way. But let me go back. The strict anti-gun laws of Washington, D.C., combined with the psychopathic strict anti-gun policies put in place by Bill Clinton, in the U.S. military, certainly have played a role. Of course, the response from medicated liberals will be to make gun laws tighter. But if you actually think about it, the answer is to have more guns on bases in the armed services, boys and girls. Now, many of you who grew up on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and shows like that and Sesame Street, you're adults now. Although you look like adults, you're really still eight-year-olds. And what you don't know, all of you children in America, is that the armed services are supposed to be armed, but they were disarmed by Mr. Clinton. And that's why no one was able to shoot at this shooter. Same with the Fort Hood massacre, which was conducted by Major Nidal Hassan. So I say there should be more guns on bases. It's time to end Clinton's ban on sidearms on bases. And that's just my opinion. It's that simple. Let's go to the callers now on the program, 855-407-282. The shooter made a recent trip to Thailand, and he was in a practicing Buddhism, which is another religion of peace, as you well know. You know, only Christians are violent people. Certainly not any other religion. It's just, according to the liberal, only Christians are violent people, going back to the Crusades. They know nothing about what the Crusades were, what caused the crusade, that the crusades were a result of the Muslim crusade to take land from Christians. You don't want to know any of that. It disturbs your mentality. But let's not talk about the crusades. Let's go into ancient history. Let's go into modern history. We know the questions. We know the answers. You have an opinion. Sound off 1, 2, 3, 4 from the U.S. Navy to Wavy Gravy in one generation. 855-407-282. And by the way, all these civilians who came running out with their hands up, screaming in the streets. Did you notice they were not naval personnel per se? They were contractors. working as part of the military-industrial complex. I'm not saying they weren't doing useful tasks. How many contractors can there be on our military bases? Why are these jobs not given to military personnel? Why are they farmed out to contractors? Well, we know the answer. We know the answer because you could hire contractors by the hour with no benefits. And all the money gets sucked up to the hedge funds that own the contractors. That's how it works. The hedge fund operators, who are the greediest pigs on the planet, suck the money up to the top and starve everybody else. After all, if you need a 300-foot yacht, you can't get it by paying anyone a wage with a benefit. So you make certain that that it works this way. We don't know if this was an isolated event by a nut or by a drug addict, meaning, you know, medical drugs. To me, they're the same thing. We know he was arrested for shooting bullets into his neighbor. You know the whole story. You heard about it, right? Am I giving you anything new that you haven't heard already? I'll give it to you anyway. Many of you work for a living. You don't have time to listen to talk radio all day. The so-called FBI has ruled that Alexis was the only shooter. The only shooter. And President Obama came out, and not yet calling it workplace violence, he called it a cowardly mass shooting, and he called the victims patriots. All right. And by the way, to show respect for the victims, President Obama canceled a party at the White House. Some Latin awards ceremony was supposed to have occurred. So is there anything you want to say that you haven't heard? Is there anything you can add to the conversation? I don't know whose country this is anymore. It's not my country. This is not the U.S. Navy I grew up with. This is not the military that I grew up with. These are not the men I used to look up to. Not anymore. I'll stop right here because I don't want to say what I really want to say. What would you like to say? Is there anything that's bothering you tonight? You know, if you were to write a scenario about a nation in decline, if you were to write a novel about a nation that's falling off a cliff, a once great nation, could you do a better job than just cataloging what Obama's done to this country? Who disarmed the armed services on military bases? Bill Clinton. Why did Bill Clinton disarm the military on military bases? Should there be more guns on bases? These are important questions. My position is more guns, less crime. ABC in New York City, Tim, what's on your mind?
So I agree with you 100% more guns, less crime. In 1978, I went to Israel. When we got off the plane, we had to walk from the tarmac through a corridor of fully armed military personnel with fully automatic weapons. As I walked around Jerusalem and Tel Aviv, off-duty soldiers were carrying their weapons casually with no big fuss whatsoever.
I remember when I was in Israel about the same time, I loved seeing the young girls because the military draft is required. Nice-looking girls all carrying their automatic weapons over their shoulder. No one shot each other. And then when the Israelis built a wall to keep out the murderers from the West Bank, all the liberals screamed, "The wall is an insult to human rights! It's an insult to human rights!" And they put an end to the terrorist bombings, didn't they, with the wall. And, of course, every military person carrying a weapon is also a deterrent to someone who might consider hitting somebody, killing somebody, or knifing somebody, isn't it?
Absolutely.
But now take a look at America under this sad sack that runs the country. 855-47728 to the Savage Nation. You know, I'm going to tell you a coincidence, what's on my mind. My novel, A Time for War, is in paperback, right? And it's all about, you know, Jack Hatfield is the main character. But I introduced a new character, Dover Griffith, an idealistic young woman staffer at the Office of Naval Intelligence. Can you believe this? And in A Time for War, the Office of Naval Intelligence played sort of a big background story here. And so my hero, Hatfield, pursues a trail leading to a billionaire American electronics entrepreneur who has sold out his country with the help of officials at the highest level of the American government. And as enemy operatives plan a two-pronged attack that will disarm the American military, oh really, Michael, and release a deadly toxin killing hundreds of thousands of civilians, Hatfield and Dover race to locate this new ground zero and save an unsuspecting country. That's my book. That's my book, A Time for War, but you didn't want to buy it. I try to tell you, I saw things in my own way. It's so well done. I got a call today from Las Vegas from a friend of mine. He said he's at the pool, and he sees someone reading my book, A Time for War, in paperback. And the guy doesn't even know I'm on the radio. He just likes the novel. Would you believe this? It's like two identities. People are writing that Michael Savage is the Mark Twain of our time. Do you know that? I know you won't hear it on a Wallbanger or a Leprechaun. I certainly won't be on the, what's her name? Blondie on Fox News? The cheerleader they're bringing back after the baby. What's her name? Oh, the Kelly file. What file? Where'd they come up with these hokey names? The Kelly file. The Kelly file sounds weird. Let me tell you something about names. It's very funny. I'm an expert on naming things. I'm one of the best in nomenclature in the world because I studied botanical Latin. So years ago, like 30 years ago, I remember learning this. I'll never forget this as long as I live. It was a famous story. Chevrolet had a good little car called the Nova. It was actually a piece of junk. My sister owned one and it caught fire. It blew up. It was a four-cylinder engine. But it was a cute car. It was a Nova, I think, when the engine caught fire. Whatever. So they tried to sell the Chevy Nova in South America, and nobody bought it. So why didn't they buy it? They figured out years later, the corporate executives, that you can't sell the word Nova because it means no-go. So none of the South Americans would buy the Chevy Nova because it meant no-go, right? So it's the same thing like the Kelly file is a mistake. Because when I hear the Kelly file, I think of a woman filing her nails. They could stick with her now. I got a new name for her. Wait, give me a bell. Bingo, I got it. I give a name to everyone, so I got it. The filer. I got it. Megyn Kelly is forever now referred to on this show as the filer. The filer. We got the leprechaun. We got Scarface. We got the filer, and we got Wallbanger. We got your money's worth already for the night. Mike on W... I'm enjoying myself for what I've been through in my life. Up, not bad. Don't get me wrong. I'm not tempting God. I know it already. Most guys my age, what they have. Either they're pushing daisies, number one, or they can't breathe anymore. Their legs are shot. Their knees are shot. Their arms are shot. Their hips are gone. And I'm talking about guys who are captains of the football team in high school. Those guys are either dead or they're crippled. It's terrible. The little guys, the wimps, the guys who nobody liked, didn't want them to play on the team. We go on forever. Let me tell you that. It's like my dog Teddy. He's 10 years old. People look at him, they think he's a puppy. How did that happen? So I was speaking to a guy, Howie Carr in Boston. I was on his show last week, a local show. So I talked to his producer afterwards. We talked about my dog after. So I said, Teddy, I love Teddy. He's 10. She said, oh, I had a dog named Millie. She lived to 20, toy poodle. I was so happy. I was empowered because I hope I could live 10 more years. I kind of doubt it, but let's say I can. Say Teddy and I go at the same time to the next world. But the thing is, the thought of living without this dog is freaking me out. I don't want it. I can't take it anymore. I can't lose one more dog and see the ashes in a little box on my mantle with his little picture, the Snowy and the one before that, the little pictures. But there's someone I know who's very bright who said, look, Michael, here's the way you look at dogs who die before we do. She said God set it up that way because if we died before them, they would be abandoned and be running on the roadside. So God set it up that they live fast lives. That's why they go crazy. Like if you leave them in the house like for 5 minutes, you come back, it's 5 days to them. I have to trick this dog. I have to give him a greenie. He's eating the greenie. The next thing he knows, he hears the garage door closed and he goes insane. Oh, God, no, his worst nightmare. He was tricked. I go on my little bicycle ride to get some cardio, right, for 5 minutes before going back into a darkened room to avoid a migraine from clamping on my head. And it's like he's a combination of sulking, he's hurt, he rolls over. It's like, why'd you ditch me? Why'd you do it? Why'd you leave me for 5 days? It was all of 7 minutes. It's unbelievable to me. But then I realized why. If they only live, let's say, an average of 10, 12 years of dog and dog time, right? And dog time, to them, it is like 5 years, I guess, or something like that. But I hope he goes on to 20. That'd be nice. You know, we got old guys together hanging out. How's it feel? How are your legs today? Not bad. No, not bad. Not doing good. It's okay. I'll get by, you know, hang out, go to Miami, get the hats. He doesn't show any sign of arthritis. And I feed him a human diet. I give him kibble. I give him chicken breast. Yes, a whole chicken breast. I know people are going to hate me. I buy cooked chicken. The breast is his. Skin comes off, cut the breast in the thing, fresh organic carrots, boom. And then he goes crazy for a greenie. Once in a while, he gets cheese. Once in a while, I go to a Basque restaurant. He gets a sirloin burger. He gets a Roger burger from a Chalet Basque. What a lucky dog. Well, there's a trick to why I order the hamburger for the dog. As you know, I have no patience whatsoever. I am the most impatient man ever put on the planet. I have no patience. And yet, as a child, I built models. Figure that one out. It's a weird paradox. I'm sure they declare it a disease of some kind and put me on medication today. I have no patience, yet I could sit for hours and build models as a child. Do kids build models anymore? No, that's an illness. Could you imagine a child building a stick model of an airplane and putting, like, paper on it today? They would call up a psychiatrist and say he's very sick, he's socially inept. A boy his age should be on medication and playing video games or dressing in his sister's clothing. This child, there's something wrong with him. He's actually putting on pants and boy's shoes. We have to look into this immediately. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
It's the Savage Nation. I'm a little slow today. I think I figured out why. A, I'm overloaded with work. I'm doing too many things. You talk about multitasking. I'm doing too many things at once. That's number one. Number two, after the show last night, I went to a new pizzeria alone by myself. Closes about an hour after I'm off the air. And I had a goat cheese pizza with a beer. I said, all right, what's the big deal? Well, for one, I don't eat dairy. I'm allergic to cow's milk, so I had goat's milk. I said, I don't react to goats. But I couldn't get up this morning. I wanted to lay in bed. I felt like glue was in my head. I think I have a generalized, dairy allergy. It's like I react to it that way. It's not like I get sick from it. It's not like I need to be gluten-free or I'm going to die. I don't have celiac disease with gluten. It's not the same thing as a lactose-lactase deal. You shouldn't eat that garbage. It's as simple as that. I should have had a salad and a glass of wine. I mean, you look at the two types of people from Europe. It's well known. The wine drinkers are slim. Slim people. The beer drinkers are stout. Northern Europe. Germany. They were generally stout. Not anymore today, no. Now they were like Nordic gods. They can't defend their country, though. That's the only difference. They all run. They jog. They look good. They go to Copenhagen. They go to Mallorca. They come to San Francisco, and they can't defend themselves from the invasion. You know, there was a comedian in my day named Jimmy Durante. No one remembers him. I used to like him for some reason. He looked like Cyrano de Bergerac. He had a weird face, big nose. And as a kid, isn't it funny how when you're a kid and you're I was thinking a lot lately about being 11, 10, 11, 9, 10, 11, 12, and the shows I would watch on TV, the news and who I liked, which newscasters, which entertainers I liked, because they all influenced me. Now, for some reason, I like Jimmy Durante. And some of the lines he said, I was a little kid, but they stuck with me, such as, be awfully nice to all the people you meet on the way up, because you're going to meet them all on the way down. You know, I didn't know what it meant exactly, but I loved that line, and it always stuck with me. Now, here's another line from childhood that stuck with me. I remember Jamaica High School. The principal's name was Shooker. He was like a tough Jew. His name was Shooker. You know, even the name was tough. You had to be like, he used to punch kids in the nose who mouthed off to him. Imagine that. If you had a kid who belonged in a reform school or in a prison, opened his mouth up to him and gave him a blast in the nose with his fist, and nobody gave him a lawsuit. He kept the school in order. It was a clean school, no graffiti, no drugs, no sex in the locker room. It was a nice, clean school, and people learned, and they went on to better, you know, colleges and made a life for themselves. He's probably, gone already. But I'll never forget one of the things he said in the auditorium. It stuck with me also, and I don't know why did it resonate with me. I couldn't have been more than, let's say, I entered high school at 13. I graduated high school at 16. I graduated 16, high school, blah, blah, blah. So I must have been 14, 15. Oh, so I was in the assembly. So the principal's giving a speech. They used to give you pep talks. And one of the speeches he said, in the middle of it, I heard a line from Shakespeare. And it went something along these lines. Some men are born great. Some men have greatness foisted upon them. And others achieve greatness. And I sat in that room knowing I was a poor kid. I had no idea how I was going to get ahead in this crazy country of ours. I had no idea how I was going to ever buy a car, how I was going to have a career. I didn't know anybody who could help me. There was no, like, secret handshake, no family connections, no family money. So I said, some people are born great. I said, rule that out. You aren't born great. Some people have a greatness foisted upon them. I said, forget about it. There's no nepotism. No one's giving you greatness. And others have... achieve greatness. I said, well, if you're going to do anything in life, you better do it on your own. How did I come to that on my own? No one explained it to me. What I'm saying to you is education is very interesting. You expose children to various fabulous, inspirational ideas, and they will then come up to whatever they are within themselves. It's up to them. You can't build it. You can't make it. You can't give them self-esteem. You can't tell them, you know, that they're something when they're not. They know that you're lying to them. A child knows more than you do when you give them a grade they don't deserve or a reward they didn't win. You know what I'm saying? You're not doing them a favor. And so everything I've had in my life, I had to struggle for. I had to, like with toenails, fingernails, claws, teeth, climbing over hot rocks, working late at night when I didn't want to work, working three jobs and I didn't want to work the three jobs. What's the difference? What am I on earth for? To not work? I could never retire. I am not the type that could retire. Maybe you can. I know men who are born into money. I think they actually, some of them know how to live well. I don't know. But I met a bunch. You know, who knows? I don't know what they feel inside, a rich son. I don't know what a rich son feels like. There's a sense of worthlessness, I would assume, if they didn't outdo their father. That's what I would think. If the son is born into a certain degree of comfort and he doesn't outdo the father, he has to have a degree of a sense of failure, I would think. I'm not saying it's a given. I would imagine. I think it's a blessing, actually, to be born poor. To be frank with you, now, I don't think I wanted to be born poor. I'll never forget the horrible, disgusting winters in Queens, New York. The slush, the Q44A, the IRT, the stinking jobs, the subway, the rocking cars, the raincoat, the sweat in the raincoat. One bad job after another, not knowing where what tomorrow would bring. No, I didn't enjoy it. I wish my father had had money and I could have walked into a factory and run it. That's not the way it worked for me. So as I say to you, I can't say it's been luck, but I will tell you there's an element of luck in my life, and I'm not trying to give you a whole story or in a homily, but thinking back on it, I don't even know why I'm doing it. Maybe it's a time of reflection before autumn. Who knows?
Savage.